see all of you here. It's a very special place. Thank you for learning and adding to the atmosphere of the camp, and having watched all of you grow, for not done for 4 years already, but the rest of you there for a year, for half a year in YU. I look forward to that continuing growth this summer and for the years to come. I want to discuss over the course of the next few weeks, in general, I think this lot is going to be various issues in halacha, usually based on the parsha. But just for the next few weeks, to discuss various issues in halacha that are related to the 3 weeks. I think it's fair to say that one of the major distinctions, one of the major differences between Avelus Chadasha versus Avelus Yishana. Avelus Chadasha, of course, Avelus that a person feels for a parent or for one of the Zayin Krovim, versus Avelus Yishana. With Avelus Chadasha, there's almost like an attempt in Chazal to find ways of diminishing the sort of the seriousness of the feelings of Avelus. We don't want you to get sort of caught in those feelings. We don't want you to get trapped in the feelings of mourning. We want to allow you to mourn, but also allow you through the process of the first 3 days, and then Shiva, and Shloshim, and 11 months, and 12 months, sort of like make your way out of those very often paralyzing feelings of mourning. When it comes to Avelus Yishana, for the average person, maybe not everyone here is average, it's almost just the opposite. It's almost like a person wants to have real feelings of mourning, but almost at the first opportunity, our mind almost leaves it. We're not programmed to sit around for all day, let alone 3 weeks, thinking about Korban Bayis. It's just really not in the nature of man to sort of bring oneself back to past events. Therefore, to sort of look for opportunities to discuss either B'derech Hashkafa or Halacha issues of either Korban or the Beis HaMikdash, certainly it seems appropriate to do so. I want to discuss a topic in halacha that I imagine some of you are familiar with anyway, and to discuss some of the various pieces of it, and namely that's the mitzvah of binyan beis habechira, the mitzvah of the building of the beis hamikdash. And this mitzvah is something which is recorded by all those who record mitzvahs. The Rambam, the Smag, the Smak, the Chinuch, the Ramban, anybody who records, anybody who has a list of mitzvos, they all record the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Just as a side note, we know the Gemara tells us at the end of Maseches Makos that there are 613 mitzvos. So we know there's 613 mitzvos, but since that Gemara, and especially since the time of Rabbeinu Sajigon, Rabbeinu Haigon, there's been almost a bloodbath of what's included in those 613 mitzvahs. We know there's 613. The question is, what is a mitzvah? What's not a mitzvah? The Bahag very famously says that even mitzvahs that are Durabanan are included. The Rambam has his laws and his list. The Ramban comments on the Rambam. These are things I'm sure all of you know already, but this is sort of one of the mitzvahs that there's no disagreement about. Anybody who records mitzvos, they all record that there is a mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And the question is where? Where would we have a pasuk or a reference that tells us that, if not bizmanenu, because we're hampered obviously by circumstances, but where would we have a pasuk that says that if not now, then ultimately, ledoros, for generations, there's a mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash? What pasuk might we turn to? So the way the Rambam records in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, and this is brought down by the Chinuch as well, is that from the pasuk of Asuli Migdash V'Shachanti B'Socham, namely the pasuk that tells us a person has to build the Mishkan, is written, the Gemara in Erevin says, V'Asuli Migdash, not V'Asuli Mishkan, but V'Asuli Migdash, as a way of telling us, it's not just the building of the Mishkan, but it's the building of the Migdash as well, and that's part of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Asuli Migdash Shachanti B'socha. Anybody have another candidate? What else might be a pasuk besides the Asuli Migdash Shachanti B'socha? So the Rambam, in fact, even though the Rambam says in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, it's the Asuli Migdash Shachanti B'socha, the Rambam has a different pasuk that he quotes in Hilchos Malachim, L'shachno Tidrishu Uvasa Shama, you should sort of seek me out in that place, Uvasa Shama, and the Rambam says from that pasuk we see there's a mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And the Smag has a third candidate, not V'asuli Migdash Shachnati B'socham, not L'shachno Tidrishu V'asashama, but the Smag has the pasuk How does the whole pasuk go? El hamakom asher bachar ba Hashem. As you have to come to the place that Hashem Baruch Hu chose to you. And the Smag says that's where we know there's a mitzvah of binyan based on mikdash. So is it from the asulin mikdash shchati b'socham, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Beis Avchira, l'shachnu tidrushu v'as hashama, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Malachim, or el hamakom asher bachar ba Hashem Elokim, that the place that Hashem Baruch Hu has chosen for you. Now, what might be a nafkamin and halacha between these three positions, these three psukim, Vasuli Migdash, or the other two psukim that appear in the Torah? What might be any difference? Is it just an issue of I have your pasuk, you have my pasuk? I mean, what might be a difference between which pasuk, in fact, you choose to delegate or to designate this mitzvah?
Vasuli is like, do it.
Right.
You understand what this one's there.
So the Lecha Mishnah actually points out what Natan said, namely that it's most logical to be Asuli Mikdash, because that's telling you there's a tzivu, you have to do it. The other person can say, no, you'll come to the place, but it's not as direct. And that's why, says the Lecha Mishnah, most people use the pasuk of Asuli Mikdash, Vishachanti Besocham. But something that might be even more relevant for our days is a question as far as Asuli Mikdash, Vishachanti Besocham, you should make for yourself a holy place, and I will live in it. That some Rishonim say that we see from that pasuk that in fact there's even a mitzvah d'oraisa of binyan beis hakneses. There's an obligation to build a shul. It's not enough, you know, for those of you who live in Brooklyn, which I don't think is anybody, right? It's not enough to go ahead and to say, you know, I'm going to daven in the basement, and we're going to have 10 people over here and gather in your living room, and we're going to take a base meter, turn that into a shul. No. But there's a mitzvah, an independent mitzvah, and most people assume that this is Pshat the Rambam, of binyan beis hakneses. That a person has to spend money, and in fact we know some of the, it's brought down, even in the Rambam, that you can make a knas on the people in the shul to build a shul. I mean, people say, oh, what do we need a shul for? Right? We'll dive in over here, we'll dive in the backyard, we don't need a shul. The Rambam says that the community is allowed to levy a tax on people, about korcham, against their will, to pay money for the shul. What would happen if you didn't? What happens if you don't give money for the shul? Anybody know what the response would be? The response would be in Cheirim. Now, you might say, since all of us go to YU, okay, we're all in Cheirim. You know, people put us into Cheirim years ago. So what's the big deal about being put in Cheirim? So nowadays, being put into Cheirim is not really such a big deal. It's almost like, you know, anybody who's anybody has been put into Cheirim. But it used to be, being put into Cheirim was very serious. There was one shul in town. And if you were put to Cheirim, you couldn't daven in the shul, you couldn't get an aliyah, you couldn't this, you couldn't that, the rabbi wouldn't come to your simcha. And therefore, if you did not contribute to the building of the Beis HaKnesses, therefore you put to Cheirim. But that obligation seems like it comes from the fact that there's a chiv d'oraisa of binyan Beis HaKnesses based on the pasuk of Yasuli Migdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. There are other issues that revolve around that same question also. Do you say a bracha shechianu upon completion of a Beis HaKnesses? Our shul, we just moved into a new shul in Muncie. So Shiloh, as you say, Shechianu or not, those are two deos that are brought down in the Shari Tshuva, by Hilchos Brachos, and that would seem to be the same issue. Is there mitzvah or not to building a shul? Or is it enough that a person davens anywhere? But that, again, is based on the pasuk of Asuli Migdash V'Shechanti B'Socham. There's a Shiloh, by the way, I don't know if any of you, your community has built shuls recently. There's a discussion brought down in the Poskim, by the Avnei Nezer and by others, right? Are you allowed to have a non-Jew doing malacha on the shul on Shabbos or not? Obviously, you want to, you know, you tell the people the shul's going to be finished by Pesach, and it's 2 weeks left to go, and like nothing is built. So, can you have the non-Jewish workers building the shul or not on Shabbos? That's a tshuva by the Avnei Nezer, and he says if we assume, like the Rambam, that it's a mitzvah to build a shul, so then a non-Jewish worker could work on Shabbos to build that shul, assuming he does certain malacha based on the principle shvus to shvus malka mitzvah. Again, based on whether or not we say it's a mitzvah to build a shul, if you say that the pasuk for building based on migdash is vasuli migdash v'shachanti besocham, that would apply to the mishkan, to the migdash, to what happened at Shiloh, to building of a shul, to building of a base medrash, all that will be based on the pasuk of v'asuli migdash v'shachanti besocham. It's a very fascinating machlokas Rishonim. And so what exactly, it might sound like an obvious question, if I ask you, what was the purpose of the building of the Beis HaMikdash? Why do we need it? What's it there for? What was the prime purpose of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So your first response would be what? What's that? Right. So that is actually what the Ramban says, right, but not the Rambam. And you're probably aware of this overarching machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban in general. The Rambam says, I was looking for it before, but I didn't see it. The Rambam says a little bit in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, but even more so in the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam is very explicit. Anybody maybe want to guess what the Rambam says? That the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is a place to bring karbanos. The Rambam doesn't speak about the Shekhinah Hashem. The Rambam doesn't speak about a place to have a Kosh Baruch Hu's presence. The Rambam says it's a place for karbanos and a place to be Ola Regel. And this is a refrain the Rambam has through Beis Bechira, that the sole purpose or the major purpose of Binyan Beis HaMikdash is for the purpose of Hava'os Karbanos. That's what the Rambam says. The Ramban says not that way. The Ramban said, what's the purpose? As Stephen said before, what's the purpose of the Mishkan? What's the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash? The purpose was, and this is a very famous Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Truma, was to take the Shekhinah that was found on top of Har Sinai, God's presence that was found on top of Har Sinai, to move that into the Mishkan. That presence gets moved into Eretz Yisrael, into the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash was the place to feel the Shekhinah Hashem. Now this machlokes is very fundamental between the Rambam and the Ramban, because the Ramban says in general, this Ramban Shita, that there are places where Kosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah is more manifest. According to the Ramban, the Kosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah is more manifest in Eretz Yisrael. That's why there's a mitzvah to move to Eretz Yisrael. The Kosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah is more manifest in a certain place. It's not as though the whole world is the same. The Ramban said if you go to this place, that's where you feel the Shekhinah Hashem. If you go over here, it's not true. Where the Rambam does not seem to view God's presence, God's manifestation, God's Shekhinah in the same way. Therefore, for the Rambam, it would make more sense that the Beis HaMikdash was not about the manifestation of God's Shekhinah, but it's about the Karbanos. Where for the Ramban, he says, no, it's all about a place for the Shekhinah Hashem, and the Karbanos are there as a way of bringing down that Shekhinah Hashem. That's machlokes of the Rambam and the Ramban. Anybody have maybe a different or a third or other opinion, what might be the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash? What's that?
To gather,
right? That's not actually a small point. I mean, the Beis HaMikdash really was supposed to be almost like a community gathering center. That was the place where people would come Aliyah L'Regel. That would be the place that people would daven Beis Sara. That's the place people would come for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, for Yom Kippur. If a person was being Menachem Avel, a person was an Avel, they would go to the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. A person was a Chassan, right? You would have your Sheva Brachos in the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. That's a sort of a third opinion, that the real purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was to have like a community gathering spot that revolved around sort of Avodas Hashem, and that revolved around religious life. That's a third opinion. Anybody have like perhaps another option? So a fourth option would seem to be based on a very beautiful Tosfos in Bava Basra, really the Gemara in Bava Basra, and something Rav Salvechik often spoke about. Tosfos discusses the following issue. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, that Yeshua ben Gamla established a educational system. Right? It used to be, and again, in my house, it's never worked. This would definitely not work for my children, but it used to be that every father used to teach their kids Torah, right? And at a certain point, that was not working. Why was it not working? What was the reason? Either A, the fathers didn't have time, the fathers were amaratzim, maybe even more so, I don't know who taught you your bar mitzvah parasha, you know, we sometimes realize that, you know, your father is not always the best person to teach you, you know, how to ride a bike, you know, there tends to be, you know, more tears and more drama and more other sort of issues when it's sort of like a father-son relationship. So based on all those considerations, Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla established an educational system. And the Gemara says that he established a yeshiva in Yushalayim Yehar Kodesh. So the Rishonim ask, why Yushalayim? Why not Bavel? Why not in Tzfas? Why not Tveria? Why have it in Yushalayim? Why have it by the Beis HaMikdash? So Tosfos says you can only really teach somebody what it means to be a Jew when you're sitting there in the old city of Yerushalayim. Not that this is an idea after your own heart. This is what Tosafot says. Tosafot says in Bava Basra, you need to look at it afterwards, not Chaf Aleph. He says that to teach a Jew, you have to have them see the Kohanim do the Avodah. You have them see the Birchas Kohanim. I mean, just to teach a kid, and we've all probably been through this in our life, you know, Gemar Bava Kamma, sitting in Woodmere, New York, or in MTA, or in wherever a person goes, it doesn't work. He says a person needs to be exposed to the Beis HaMikdash and to Yerushalayim for the messages of the Torah to come through. I used to teach high school in MTA, and the kids in my shir used to ask me, he said, why is it that our brothers go to Israel and they're so inspired in Yeshiva Kotel? There was only one yeshiva back then. It was Kotel, not a Tivari. And here we're sitting in MTA and we're dying. We're looking at like the painter eye on the wall. So I sort of referenced that Tosfos. So I said, it's like a totally different experience when you're sort of walking through Rechov or Chayim. So that's a Tosfos in Bava Basra. So according to that Tosfos, and according to sort of the way people learn the Ramban, and Rosh Hashanah has a beautiful idea about this, the idea of the Beis HaMikdash really revolved around the Lishkas HaGozis. It revolved around the place where Torah was taught. And that was the real idea of the Beis HaMikdash. The place of the Beis HaMikdash, first and foremost, was to be a place where people learned, people taught, Torah was taught, and that was the real idea of the Lishka. That was the real idea of the Beis HaMikdash. Those are the four shittas brought down. The Rambam has to do with Karbanos. The Ramban has to do, as Stevie says, the Shekhinah Hashem. Perhaps it has to do with being a community center, or maybe it has to do with the Torah that's taught in the Beis HaMikdash. It might have a nafkamin, perhaps, between the Shitas HaRambam and the Shitas Ramban. Is it based on the Karbanos, or is it based on the Shekhinah Hashem? So one fascinating discussion is whether or not there is an independent mitzvah of the binyan of the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam seems to say no. The Rambam says the whole idea of the Beis HaMikdash is for the karbanos. Therefore, the building of the kalim is just sort of like a hechsher mitzvah. It's not independent of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's part and parcel of the Beis HaMikdash. Where for the Ramban says not that way. The Ramban says the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is the Shekhinah. So then there's sort of a separate obligation of the building of the kalim, the building of the mizbeach, the building of all those things, because that's sort of like a separate mitzvah than the building of the Beis HaMikdash itself. If I know anything unusual, maybe based on your own knowledge, that a person can ask based on this Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam says the whole purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is karbanos. That's the whole reason for the Beis HaMikdash in the first place. The question that could be asked, based on a very famous Shitas HaRambam, where the Rambam says that you can bring karbanos even without a Beis HaMikdash. So maybe a topic we'll discuss sometime over the course of the summer. He says all you need is a mizbeach. You don't need a Beis HaMikdash. In fact, this was a debate throughout history, whether or not when you go to Israel, whether you can be makriv karbanos or not. It's a crazy idea. Right? Many people tried. I think every year, by the way, they have to pass legislation in Eretz Yisrael, right, for those of you, I guess the five of you who are in a Tivariyeh, I'm not sure if you're always like, you get like a sort of a front row seat to sometimes like the craziness that goes on by the Kotel. You know, this person is this, and this meeting is starting there, and these guards. So every year they have to pass legislation to not allow certain groups to come and be makriv karbanos at the Beis HaMikdash. Can you imagine the scene that would happen, you know, standing right there? So it's a little bit of an ironic shita, because for the Rambam is the one who says the whole Beis HaMikdash is about the karbanos. But at the same time, the Rambam says that even without the Beis HaMikdash, you can still build a mizbeach and be makriv a karban. You would think it'd be goof for the Rambam who would say that if there's no Beis HaMikdash, of course you can't be makriv karbanos nowadays, but the Rambam says just the opposite. That the Rambam says the one is allowed to bring karbanos bizmanenu, and that's worth looking into how exactly that Shitas Rambam works. Okay? Correct, right, because what Nath is referring to is that the only karban you could bring is a karban sibur, because why carbon sibur versus carbon yachid? What's the advantage of carbon sibur versus carbon yachid? That if it's a carbon sibur, so we don't have to worry about the issue of tumah, right? If you want to bring a carbon yachid and all of us are tumei meis, are you going? But even you, Mistama, at some point, there's tumas meis, some, right? So how can you bring a carbon yachid? But a carbon sibur, because we have the concept of tumah, that Tum Hutcher B'Tzibur, so you'd be allowed to bring some type of carbon Tzibur in Yerushalayim Bizmaneinu. The question is, why do we not do that nowadays? Okay, I want to maybe touch on just two other issues. We mentioned before that according to everyone, Chuli Amma, everyone agrees that there is a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rambam has a klal. Everyone knows that at the beginning of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam goes through a list as to what type of mitzvah can be included in the Taryag Mitzvos. What makes it into the Sefer HaMitzvos? And one of the Rambam's basic ideas is that only if a mitzvah is ledoros, only if a mitzvah is forever, or it applies forever, only then, that's something that a person can do, only then is that included in the Sefer HaMitzvos. If it's something which is not ledoros, it's something that only applies one time, so they would not get included in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Okay, so anybody have an issue with classifying Binyan Beis HaMikdash in the Sefer HaMitzvos based on that principle of the Rambam? So the issue would be based on a very, very famous and a somewhat difficult shita of Rashi that appears in Maseches Sukkah and Daf Mem Aleph, based on the Gemara in Sukkah and based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Lamed. Okay, the Gemara says that we have a principle that says you cannot build the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone know the requirements? You can't build the Beis HaMikdash Belayla, right? You can't build the Beis HaMikdash at night. You can't build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. And you can't build the Beis HaMikdash on Yontif. But just if you're curious where that is, that appears in the Gemara in Shavuos, the Gemara in Yevamos, another place as well, that you can't build the Beis HaMikdash then. So there's a whole Gemara, and I'm not going to go through the Gemara now, in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed, and in Sukkah Mem Aleph, that discusses a certain issue of when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, that as far as the Yom HaNeif. Anybody remember this, Gemara? Yom HaNeif, as far as the day in which you bring the Karban Omer. And the answer that the Gemara ends up giving is that in the future, the Beis HaMikdash will be built either Belayla, either at night, or on the 15th day of Pesach, which is on Yontif. So Rashi says, wait a second, how does the Gemara over here in Sukkah tell us that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt at night, or the Beis HaMikdash will be built in Yontif, if we have a Gemara other place that says it can't be built at night, it can't be built on Shabbos, it can't be built in Yontif? So which one is it? It seems like a clear stira between the Gemaras in Sukkah and Rosh Hashanah, and the Gemaras in Shavuos and Yevamos. So anybody know what Rashi gives, gives an answer? Everybody know the teretz that Rashi gives, and it's not Rashi by himself, it's Rashi and the Ritva and Tosvos, they all give the same answer. So Rashi says an amazing answer, probably an answer you've heard before, namely, that when we say that the Beis HaMikdash can't be built Belayla, that is when the Beis HaMikdash will be built by man. The Beis HaMikdash will be built by hand. It will be built by Bnei Adam. But the third Beis HaMikdash, says Rashi and Tosfos in the Ritva, is what? And when Rashi says, it was built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was already developed, it's already formed, and then somehow, okay, it's hard for us to sort of imagine such a scene, you know, somehow the Beis HaMikdash is going to descend onto Yerushalayim. And that's going to be the third Beis HaMikdash, says Rashi, where it's something that's going to be completely God-made instead of completely man-made. And then the question would be, how do we say that this is a mitzvah on a person? It's a mitzvah ledoros for us to build the Beis HaMikdash. But Rashi already says that God's going to do the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to do nothing. We're going to show up one day and there it's going to be, right? So how do you say that it's a mitzvah for us to do it, but at the same time it's done already? Anybody have another question that sheet this Rashi? Rashi says already, we're not going to build it, it's going to be there already. So question A, how's it then a mitzvah, right? There's no mitzvah for us to bring Mashiach. Mashiach to be something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. That's question number one. Anybody have another question that sheet this Rashi? So the person goes through all of the tefillos and all of the gemaras. Everything we say is, you know, Mehera Yibaneh HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. The Beis HaMikdash should be built. The Beis HaMikdash should be built. And that's what we have throughout the psukim, throughout the gemaras. So based on what Rashi says, it's not going to be built. No one's going to build it. It's going to be preformed, prefabricated, and plumped down, you know, on our laps. So how do we have all these statements of Binyan Beis HaMikdash and the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, if as Rashi and Tosfos, the Ritva is saying, it's already formed? So this is a question that all the Acharonim are bothered by. So anybody ever hear Teretz? Anybody can think of a Teretz? So let me read to you just a few lines of this beautiful Aruch Lener. The Aruch Lener says, so l'chein hayanir l'niyaz daiti, the Aruch Lener says, devadei beis hamigdash l'asid lavo yibane binyon mamish bidei adam. Man is going to build a beis hamigdash in the future, right? So what then did Rashi mean that's going to be preformed? What do we mean when we say that the Beis HaMikdash is formed by God? What do we mean by that? Okay. Sheyeru lamatahu Beis HaMikdash ruchani, sheyavo lesoch Beis HaMikdash hanivne gashmi, kineshama besoch haguf. It's an amazing Aruch Lener. The Aruch Lener is a real sefer in halacha. The Aruch Lener says that we're going to build the Beis HaMikdash, but then when we say that the Beis HaMikdash is preformed, it pre-existed, it's going to descend, that means the Beis HaMikdash Haruchani, that's going to fill the Beis HaMikdash HaGashmi, much in the way that you have a person's body and you have the neshama inside of the body. So yes, is the Beis HaMikdash going to be existed and created by God? Absolutely. But we're going to build it, and then sort of God's Beis HaMikdash, the neshama, is sort of going to infuse that guf of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the way you would explain how it is there's still a mitzvah. Yes, we're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. What Rashi tells us, the Ritva mean is that sort of the spiritual Beis HaMikdash, God's Beis HaMikdash, is going to be infused into the real Beis HaMikdash. That's the third aspect of the mitzvah being a Beis HaMikdash. What exactly is going to happen? Who's going to do it? And that's Rashi tells us, the Ritva, and this Aruch Lener. Well, this is one last issue in halacha. I know that we're already succumbing upon dinner, and it's warm in here. It's been a long day. And that's namely an issue that's discussed by many of the Acharonim about the following question. We said already, based on the Gemara in Yevamos and the Gemara in Shavuos, that to build the Beis HaMikdash is a mitzvah aseh shehazman grama. It is a time-bound mitzvah. But yet the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah that it's obligated on women along with men. Anybody know who's the only people who are pater from Binyan Beis HaMikdash? So the only people that are pater, the Rambam says, based on the Gemara, that the tinokos shel beis rabban, the children are going to be pater, they're going to be exempt, because chas v'shalom that a child should ever learn or should ever miss a day of learning. There's an amazing shita brought down by the Gilyon Maharsha on the Shulchan Aruch about the following issue. We know that when a person is an avel, a person is a mourner, we say that he's not supposed to leave his home, for how long for? For all 7 days, and especially the first 3 days, he should never leave his home. But the Gilyon Maharsha says that there's one person, or one category of people, who are allowed to leave their home, who do leave their home during Shiva. Anybody know what that is? So the Gilyon Maharsha says that a person who's a Rebbe of children, is allowed to leave their home and go teach, and even though it's the middle of Shiva. So Gilyon Maharsha says, can't you get a substitute? Somebody bring some guy from the Beis Medrash, bring somebody else in, bring a substitute for 1 day to take the job of that mourner so he doesn't have to teach. So Maharsha says, and he's writing this 300 years ago, he says, everybody knows that when you bring in a substitute Rebbe, none of the kids learn. And that's going to be sort of like bringing back memories of, our old days in school. You know, you give the Rebbe your wrong name, you do all sorts of... So that's already like Girsa de Yankasa. That's already like an old, old minog of terrorizing the substitute Rebbe. So Gilyon Maharsha says that to have the Tinokel Shabbos Rabban, they can't even miss 1 day of learning, right? It's not like... You know, it's not like nowadays. You know, the best day of the year is when it snows. The kids miss, the Rebbe miss, everyone is excited. The Gilyon Maharsha says that even the Rebbe's out to go back because you can't even miss that 1 day. And that's what the Gemara means, that when the Beis HaMikdash is being rebuilt, the only people who stay in yeshiva, you can only imagine the disappointment, will be the Tinokos shel Beis Rabban. The men, the women, the older people, everyone's going to be out building the Beis HaMikdash. So the Acharonim, they ask the question on that sheet of Harambam, if you say, as we've already established in the Gemara, that to build the Beis HaMikdash is a mitzvah aseh shehazman grama, so why then is a woman obligated to build the Beis HaMikdash no different than men? Why here? It's a mitzvah aseh shehazman grama, so don't we normally say the klal, mitzvah aseh shehazman grama, the nashim are peturos, so why by the mitzvah of any Beis HaMikdash are women mechuyavos? Are women obligated? Does anybody have a teretz? So maybe more obvious teretzim, less obvious teretzim. So one more teretz, maybe more in lamdas, is the following. Is a person allowed to build a matke begaga? Is a person allowed to build a fence for their roof on Shabbos? Obviously not. Because to build a fence really means bow and arrow. You're building in a very constructive way. But yet we bring down the halacha that a woman is obligated in the mitzvah of makkah, just like a man is obligated in the mitzvah of makkah. By the mitzvah of makkah is not something that's some obscure mitzvah. Probably most of us have to fulfill the mitzvah of makkah. If you have, let's say, a deck in your backyard, if you have a roof that people go on, if you have any of these things, so there's a mitzvah of makkah, and may the haronim say that based on this mitzvah of makkah, you always have to safeguard your life. Some people say there's a question about is a person allowed to, I don't want to ruin any of your winter vacations, it's a good reason to stay in YU and learn, is a person allowed to like snowboard, right? If snowboarding, if any of these activities are things, you know, every year in YU, the guys come back from snowboarding, it's like this guy has the cast over here, this guy, so the person allowed to snowboard. So a lot of Achronim, they say, no, any dangerous activity you're not allowed to do. And one teretz, one way we know that from, and if a Sfinah says, is that we know you have the positive mitzvah of makkah. That mitzvah of makkah is to safeguard any dangerous behavior. It's a mitzvah, I say, shazman grama. You can't build a makkah on Shabbos. You can't build a makkah on Yontiv, but yet we say the women are obligated. So why is that? So the teretz that people give is because if you were to build a makkah on Shabbos, even though there's an isser, you're still yotzei the mitzvah. What does it tell you if you're still yotzei the mitzvah? It tells you that really it's a mitzvah that always exists. You're right, there's an isser on Shabbos, but it's still a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week mitzvah. So two people say the same thing by Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Even though there might be an isser to build the Beis HaMikdash b'layla, there's an isser to build the Beis HaMikdash b'Shabbos and Yontiv, if you were to build the Beis HaMikdash then, you're still mekayim the mitzvah, you're still yotzei the mitzvah, there's no psul in the Beis HaMikdash. So what do we see? That it's a mitzvah that really is not a mitzvah shas man grama, because whenever you do it, even if during the time of Isser, the person still yotzei the mitzvah, therefore it's not a real mitzvah shas man grama, therefore women are obligated. That's possibility number one. Possibility number two is that a person has to articulate the nature of this mitzvah, Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Is it a mitzvah that's on the yachid, every person is obligated, or is it a mitzvah that's on the tzibur? Is it a tziburi mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah that's on the yachid? We often have that question that comes up in halacha, not so much an issue of mitzvah, tzibur versus yachid, although anybody know probably the classic example of that question, a mitzvah that's on the tzibur versus the yachid, or maybe both? What's that? Kriyas HaTorah. So Kriyas HaTorah is sort of the ultimate example of a mitzvah that's probably only on the tzibur. So if you don't have 6 people or 10 people, there's no obligation of the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, right? Because it's a mitzvah on the tzibur, not on the yachid. So too, perhaps you might have that same question as well by the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Is it a mitzvah that every person has to do, or is the mitzvah on the tzibur? Now, if you say that it's a mitzvah that's on the tzibur, so therefore it would make sense that a woman is also obligated in that mitzvah. She's part of the tzibur as well, and therefore the only patur that exists of mitzvah sasesha's man grama is when it's a mitzvah on the yachid as opposed to on the tzibur. And that's probably why the Rambam has to say, but the children are still obligated. Now, if it was a mitzvah on the yachid, why would the Rambam, you know, have to tell us that, right? I mean, it's only because we would think that the children are also included in the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash that the Rambam has to tell us the children should stay and learn. If it was a mitzvah on the yachid, so then there wouldn't even be a havamina that the children would be included. It's only because it's a mitzvah on the tzibur, children would be included also. That's why the Rambam has to come and say, but you know, the children stay in the Beis Medrash. Everybody know, by the way, another example of this, of a mitzvah that's on the tzibur and not on the yachid, in which case maybe theoretically a woman would have been obligated. A mitzvah is on the tzibur, not on the yachid, and therefore there's a havamina that a woman would also have to do this mitzvah. This is a very, very famous Tosfos that appears in Kedushin, that probably many of you have seen before, you're familiar with. We know that Gemara tells us in Kedushin, they give us psukim, why is it that a woman is pater from, and we know the Gemara there? From being mal her son, right? Why is a woman not obligated to give her child a bris milah? So Tosfos says, why do we need a pasuk?
simply say the mitzvah says shas man grama. Tosfos gives like a very sort of technical answer there on the bottom of the Kedushin. But what the Ramban and the Ritva, they seem to say, is that bris milah is a mitzvah on the tzibur. If the father does it, great. If the father doesn't do it, so the mohel does it. If the mohel doesn't do it, the basin does it. If the basin doesn't do it, the community does it. So maybe if it's a mitzvah on the tzibur, you would think that a woman is also obligated. The mother is also obligated. That's why the pesukim have to tell us that a woman is exempt from being mal her child. But again, that's another example of a mitzvah on the tzibur, in which case a woman is obligated. So therefore, the mitzvah of binyan beis hamikdash is a mitzvah on the tzibur. Those are two terutzim. Either A, it's not a real mitzvah seishas man grama, because if you built it even at night or in Shabbos, you're still yotzei the mitzvah. B, it's a mitzvah on the tzibur. Three, there's a tshuva brought down by the Minchas Elazar. I imagine we don't have Minchas Elazar in Hass, but okay. So, and Minchas Elazar, anybody know who that was? Minchas Elazar? It was the Munkacher Rebbe, or Elazar Munkach. So he says, because the Pasuk says, Kol Isha Chachma Slave, right? Every woman in the building of the Mishkan who's a Chachma Slave, right? If you're not a, you know, things are very different nowadays than they used to be. If you're going to ask your father to sew up your shirt, or probably even your mother nowadays, but if you ask your father to, you know, come make a blanket or sew this, you know, you're going to have like an amused look on his face. And therefore, when it came time to building the Mishkan and doing all the tapestry and all of the fine work, they didn't ask the men, they asked the women. Kol isha chachma slave. So we see already that the Mishkan was a place that the woman already had shaychus to, a woman had connection to. Therefore, it's not a far stretch to say that, of course, a woman is obligated to build the Beis HaMikdash as well. But lastly, this very pashup shot, so there's at least two gemaras and shots that I can think of where there would have been a havamina that something is a mitzvah seishas shazman grama, but the gemara says, no. The women need to be included in that mitzvah as well. Just they need whatever the mitzvah provides for a person. Anybody know those two gemaras? Both of them are somewhat famous gemaras in Shas. So one is the gemara in Brachos Daf Chaf Med Aleph, that if you say that tefillah is a mitzvah saseh shas man grama, that you have to daven morning and, or evening and morning, so shouldn't a woman be pater from davening? So the gemara says what? The women are rachmin in who? They also need rachmin. You're right, it is a mitzvah saseh shas man grama, but women are obligated. Probably a halacha that many people don't know is the Mishabura brings down the woman's obligated in Shacharis and Mincha, and some Acharotim of Adji Yosef and the Aruch HaShulchan, they discuss maybe Maariv as well. Right? I'm not sure that's something that, you know, every female is always sensitive, that there's really no difference in obligation, especially for like a single girl without a child, between Shacharis and Mincha, their obligation, and a man's obligation, Maariv even as well. But that's based on the fact that even though it's Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama, Rachamin in who? They need Rachamin. Anybody know another similar Gemara to that? So Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph and Yuma says that maybe a woman would be pater from mezuzah. The Gemara gives reasons why they might be pater, and the Gemara says no, that a mezuzah brings a person chayim, and a woman also needs chayim, and therefore a woman's obligated to have a mezuzah as well. So that's the case, it would make this perfect sense, that a woman needs to be part of the Beis HaMikdash. Whether you say that the Shitas HaRambam, that's connected to Karbanos, and a woman in some way is connected to Karbanos as well, or you say that the Shitas HaRambam, that's based on having a place where you feel the Shekhinah Hashem, or you say like what Stevie said before, that's the case like of a community gathering, or it's a place where Torah comes out of, whatever reason you give for the Beis HaMikdash, a woman needs to be included as well in that. So we mentioned maybe four different things about Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Mentioned very briefly. Everyone agrees there's a mitzvah. There are three psukim brought down where that mitzvah might come from. The nafkamin might be that if you use the pasuk of asud mikdash shachanti besocham, that would also inform the obligation bismanenu to build a base of Knesset. We had a question as far as what's the purpose of the base of mikdash. The famous machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, where the Rambam says the Shekhinah Hashem is the same everywhere as opposed to the Ramban, and therefore the Mikdash is supposed to host the Shekhinah Hashem. We ask the question that if for the Rambam, the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is Karbanos, how can the Rambam say that even Bizmanenu you would bring Karbanos not in the Beis HaMikdash? We mentioned the issue of that if you say that the build the Beis HaMikdash is Ladoros, it's an obligation, what do we do with the Shitas HaRashi that says the Beis HaMikdash will come down without us doing anything? Or we mentioned that Aruch Lanera that says, no, everyone agrees that there is a mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash. When we say it's going to come down fully formed, that's the spiritual, that's the Beis HaMikdash haruchani, like the spiritual Beit HaMikdash, we're just going to build the Beit HaMikdash hagashmi, like a body and a neshama. And last week we said that if we do say that you can't build the Beit HaMikdash, b'layla, b'shabbos, b'yantiv, why is that not a mitzvah shesman grama? We gave four teruts in why it's not a mitzvah shesman grama. Either because there's a kiyum of being a Beit HaMikdash no matter when you build it, even if there's an iser, or we say that it's a mitzvah which is on the tzibur, or we say, as the Menachas Elazar said, that women were included or specified in the mitzvah of binyan hamishkan, kol isha chachma slave, or we say that a woman also needs what the Beit HaMikdash has to provide. I want to conclude this with the following thought that I was thinking about in Shavuos B'Tammuz, and I was a little bit, I guess, both depressed by and maybe uplifted by. You know, a person genuinely davens for the Beit HaMikdash, and a person says, you know, if there was a Beit HaMikdash, so then I could, sort of as the Ramban said, be conscious of Kosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world, which is so difficult. Having a Beit HaMikdash would help as far as Klai Yisrael's place in the world, would help as far as Sinas Chinam, it would help as far as all of those things. But the reality is that when we think about the Beit HaMikdash, both during Bayit Rishon and during Bayit Sheni, you know, it's hard to imagine a period that was more depressing, more, I don't know what is the word you'd use, more like disgusting in so many ways. Think about, you know, the first Beit HaMikdash with the Urim Tumim and everything that went on in the first Beit HaMikdash, but just the rampant nature of Avodah Zarah within the Beit HaMikdash, outside the Beit HaMikdash, in Yushalayim, up north, everywhere. I mean, the times of the building of Beit HaMikdash were often the worst periods of time. If you see the way the Yirmiyahu Navi was treated, right? I mean, if anybody would treat Yirmiyahu the way that people treated Yirmiyahu in the times of Beit HaMikdash, I mean, it's just, no one would even think about it, but that's the way that everyone treated, or most people treated Yirmiyahu. Things that happened in the times of Beit HaMikdash, we wouldn't do in a million years. So here is, we clamor for the Beit HaMikdash, but we recognize full well that just the Binyan Beit HaMikdash itself, to some degree, means nothing. What it really does is encourages a person to recognize for themselves, no matter who they are, no matter what stage of life they're in. You know, it's very easy often, a person comes back to Eretz Yisrael, which I know that, I guess the two of you did just in January. The person says, you know, if only I was back in, you know, Shalavim, or when I was in Nativ, or what it was like then, and maybe if I was back in here for the summer, if I could do that over then, if I was over here. And the person's always establishing for themselves, you know, if I could create that scenario, or get back over there. I'm not making fun of my very dear friend, Avi, who I love, and we used to learn together his first year in YU. So I remember the excitement before your first January, went back to Reshit. And you said, I have to go back to Reshit, I have to get back in the zone. And I think that was more or less the girsa that you used. So, and it's true, there's definitely a zone on the balcony of Reshit as the sun goes down over Beit Shemesh. But the reality is, if a person's ever sort of dependent on an outer binyan, so then that outer binyan is always going to fail a person. Eventually it's going to fail a person. And our only solution during like this period of time is just to create this real inner Mikdash, a real sense of Asur Midash Shechanti B'Socham, B'Sochal Echad V'Echad. It's not about like aspiring to the rebuilding of something. No, it's about ourselves. Like, you know, am I more focused in tefillah? Do I feel Kadosh Baruch Hu more in my tefillah? Am I better to people around me? Am I treating my family better? Am I a better person? I mean, it's always about sort of the inner Mikdash. And if we can do that, if we can really build our own inner Mikdashos, that can certainly sort of pave the way, hopefully, towards a better time. But it really starts with this mitzvah, binyan beis hamikdash, of the inner Mikdash, which then creates light and shines light in all of Yisrael. So thank you, everyone. Look forward to seeing you guys in future weeks. And thank you for learning together. I know this is a very rough time of day, you know, 4:30 in the afternoon. That's like, nothing should happen then, other than like a nap and a coffee. And so we appreciate you guys coming.